Blog Talk Radio.
They say we living in the last days, so I'ma steady put you first to my last day. Even if I stand alone, I know it's better than conforming to a world morals are irrelevant. It's so evident we lie to feel accepted. The face behind the mask is afraid to be rejected. So we neglect the intellect that our spirit speaks. We search the world to be content but never finding peace. That piece of our peace is only found in you. We're puzzled cause the puzzle piece is missing truth. Look around, it's like we searching for that Blues Clue. We got the knowledge but we do the things that fools do. That's why I gotta be the difference. It's time to redefine the meaning of a Christian. These hypocrites don't make the people wanna listen. So instead, they support these rappers killing off our children. So many rappers, so much talent, competing for a title, man, I just let them have it. They trying to be the best, but I know the greatest. They trying to make it big, I know the one who made it. I hit a model rapper who's a Christian. Some put the rapper first just to get the world to listen, and I get it. But sometimes they take it out of context, forget about God, they trying to be the one who got next. And we've been purchased by the king, but too many of our souls are repossessed because of greed. Now wait a minute, understand what I mean. See, we always want to take, but we ain't never taking heed. The American dream, we work hard so we can live it out. But God can bless America if we kick him out. And what's the point of standing up if we ain't standing out? It's time to start living this life that we preach about. I wake up every morning to a sick church. Christian rappers only real focus is a sick verse. It gets worse, we're robbing them like a snatched purse. Oh yeah, we're quick to sell them God, but never teach them how to put them first. So I'ma go and say it first. Christianity is more than just a message on your t-shirt, and it's more than a religion that the world hates. It's that hope you never had in the first place. See, he's that cool in your hot day. He's that smile on your hot day. He's like dinner on a Sunday. You know when grandma cooking and she pack you that to go play. See, it's the little things that we take for granted. Like they ask what's going on, are you aggravated? You don't trust nobody, you say love is overrated. But God is love, you're just being complicated. See, love is always bigger than its context. That's probably why we take it out of context. See, we done turned love into a contest. These women coming for your man like I got next. We got to book a life, but no class. And some of y'all will do anything for a Boaz. And after this, most of y'all gonna be real mad. Man, I'm mad too, why you think I just now? We try to use the world to define us. Man, we so lost that the lost trying to find us. And God said he looking like rise up. And if you selling out, boy, get your price up. God wants the ones who carry their cross. Look, it's time to rise up, man.
Thank you guys for joining us. Welcome, 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 welcome to Grown Women in the Kingdom. I am your co-host, one of your co-hosts, Serena Hollis from New Way Solutions. You are joining us today with Pastor Loretta Johnson from I Owe God Ministries and Apostle Coleman from Third Dominion Ministries. We welcome every single body here with us on today. We just want you to not just relax and enjoy the word and the topic that's going to come forth your way, but do be prepared for taking any notes. Our topic today is how to heal from recovery, hurt, and pain, the trauma of relationships, hurt, stagnation in our walk and our faith, and what we can do to recover. Apostle Coleman and Pastor Loretta will be sharing in their experience, their thoughts, and what they know that they've been led to bringing to us this morning here on Grown Women in the Kingdom. Please let us know if you have any comments or you want to join in or if you have any questions after. We will open up for an opportunity for you to join in and ask your questions at that time. I am going to introduce shortly, right after we play our actual intro song. Thank you, producers and our production team, for not changing our cue. However, we do have a song that we really like to share as in our introduction, and it is called Grateful by Janelle. And we're going to go ahead and play that just shortly after our introductions and after we get into a little bit of our topic here on this morning. Okay? Thank you.
I'm just grateful today, yeah. Sunshine, clear skies, everything is alright. Sunset, moonlight, I'm just cruising. I wake up grateful every day, covered in favor, doubt and grace. Rolling through my way, thankful that the Lord woke me up today. Got a loving family and solid friends, one settled ride for me till the end. Car and a crib, I ain't late on rent. All of my blessings I haven't seen.
You guys didn't know, we do have another segment that comes on every Saturday, so at 9 p.m., but this one here this morning is for grown women in the kingdom. We are going to go ahead and kick our topic off, and I am going to introduce to you Pastor Loretta Johnson from I, O God Ministries. How are you doing on today? How are you feeling? And I know you have a word for us, but we just want to check in because we do have a lot of our audience here on today. And I'm absolutely certain that they want to know how you're doing and what you have to bring to the table here with our conversation and topic on recovery, hurt, and pain. And guys, shortly after, we'll be hearing from Apostle Coleman. Thank you so much for being with us today, Pastor Loretta. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people of God. Praise the Lord. First of all, let me say that I am very, very excited to be a part of this segment where we are talking about how to recover from a fall like Prophetess Serena said, can be hurt, can be pain, it can be sin, it can be anything that sets us back from moving forward in our purpose and set us back from moving forward in the things of God. So this topic is very, very dear to my heart. It's a lot of topics that are dear to my heart, but this topic is very dear to my heart because recently I have been challenged in a fight for my purpose, for my destiny, with the enemy. And in that process, God showed and unlocked a lot of revelation to me. The Bible says, in all thy getting, that we should get an understanding. And let me tell you why I'm so grateful at this point. Because through all this last week, we talked about how pain pushes us into our purpose. And through all of this that I have gone through, that my husband and I have gone through, God has allowed me to learn so many things. One thing that he has taught me is how to recover from pain, how to recover from a fall. And yes, believers, people of God, we can fall, whether we fall in our faith, whether it's lack of faith, whether we fall in our mind. God even told me one time that we backslide, not so much in our actions, but we backslide in our thoughts because we no longer think about God as being God over all and being the creator over all and being the restorer over all and can bring us back into right fellowship and right position with him. So I am so excited about this topic. So recovering from a fall, God actually gave me a lot of points, but I'm going to horn in on the number one point that he gave me this morning. And am I free to go ahead and continue to talk, woman of God?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, you are.
Absolutely. Amen. So I'm going to continue to talk on how we recover from a fall. The number one thing that God put at the top of my list, people of God, listen, hear what I'm saying. Depend on God for restoration. Depend on God for the restoration, not on people, not on people to pray for you, even though we need people to pray for us. But the word depend means to rely on, to count on, put your trust in. We put all our trust in God. There's a scripture in the Bible that actually says that we should not trust the man, but we trust the character. We trust the God in the man. We trust the God man. And so God begins to show me to trust in the people, believers in the kingdom, as long as they're following God, as long as they have the character of God. But the minute that they enter into a place where they're not having the character of God, then God says to back up from them. There's a stronger scripture that says from such turn away. But because of the love of Christ and the mercy of Christ, we take a step back and we assess the situation. So God just told me to depend on him for my restoration, not on people. And what I mean by that is that God is the restorer of a broken heart. God is the restorer of a wayward mind. God is the restorer of when we are sick. God is the ultimate healer. And so what we have to do, we have to take our first step towards God. So we go to God and we tell God about our situation, not because God doesn't know that we are already going through, but because God wants us to express our heart to him. In doing that, it puts God back in the position of being God, and it puts us back in the position of being dependent on God. So do not wait to get your healing before crying out to God. So many times I think about when we are sick, and I think about when with a lot of people that had COVID. We all remember when COVID was out. A lot of people had COVID, and I heard a lot of testimonies that people said, well, I had a sore throat and I had a headache, but they didn't go to seek help right away. They kind of waited. The longer you wait when you're sick, when you're in need of restoring, when you're in need of help, the longer that the infection or the intrusion, I call when you're in the body of Christ, when you fall into a diverse temptation or when you have a backslidden moment or when you digress in your thinking of who God is, I call it an invasion of your purpose. It's an invasion of your walk with God. It's an invasion of your purpose. And we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when he does that, he's trying to invade our time and our space with God. Because when we get sick, what we do? We go to the bed, we curl up, we put covers over our head, and we withdraw from the people that we love. We withdraw from the things of God. And God taught me about that. I withdrew. I withdrew was the first thing that I did. I withdrew not because I was trying to hide, but I withdrew because I felt like no one would understand. I felt like I was in this alone. And this is the biggest lie of the devil. We feel like that nobody else has ever been through what I'm going through. God showed me that there were so many people in the body of Christ that was going through what I'm going through, but I had to seek him out first. In seeking God out first, depending on God for my restoration, for my healing, God began to tell me, show me the people that I can go to for prayer. The people, he showed me, like when we get sick, we often look up, and the first thing that we do, depending on the sickness, is how we choose our provider. If it's just a regular cold, we go to our family physician. But if it's a heart condition, like, you know, like I had years ago, massive heart attack, I had to go seek out a cardiologist. So there are specialists in the kingdom of God to deal with whatever hurt, whatever situation that we're going through. And so it's important for us to depend on God for our restoration. And in depending on God for our restoration, God will tell us who to go to for healing. He'll tell us who to go to for prayer. He'll tell us who to share our most vulnerable, intimate moments with. And he'll also begin to give us insight on how to recover. So that's step one on how to recover. Depend on God and not on people, even believers sometimes, not on believers, to pray you through. I've learned in this walk that not everybody wants to pray me through. Not everybody wants to have my best interest at heart. And not everybody, this is a big one, people of God, not everybody's going to understand the walk and the plight that you're going through. Everybody does not understand my purpose. Everybody does not understand why God had me on the back burner for over 30 years, and now he's launching me out. Everybody doesn't understand my obedience. Everybody doesn't understand my level of love and how I forgive. Nobody understands that, but God understands. The one that God leads me to understand. So count and depend on God. Don't wait to get your healing, to get your freedom. The minute when you feel like you have been invaded by a situation, by a scenario, you have been invaded by a fall. The Bible says, seek it not strange when we fall into divers temptations, because they come what? To try our patience. They come to try our patience. And trying our patience is something that we must have, because it causes us to wait on God. And it teaches us how to wait on God. Wait on God by praising. Wait on God by loving on him. Wait on God by spending more time with him. So depend on God for your restoration, and then don't wait to be healed. Cry out to God the minute that you feel like you have been invaded. I was reminded of a passage in scripture where it said that after David fell sick in adultery, and David had done many things, but when the prophet came to David and told him that he was the one of the scenario, and it's found in the book of Psalms, where David, the first thing that David did, David repented to God and said, God, I have sinned against man, even though man was hurt in the situation, but I have been invaded because this is trying to stop me from getting closer to my God. And the first thing David did was repented. He said, God, it's against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil. In whose sight? In God's sight. And then he began to cry out to God immediately after his repentance. He said, God, forgive me of my sins. If you read the whole Psalm 51, it talks about how he asked God to wash, to forgive him of his iniquity and to blot out his transgressions. It's important to understand what an iniquity is versus what a transgression is, because those things deal with the mind and the other one deal with our actions. So thank God. And go back and read 2 Samuel, and it'll tell you the story of how David fell with Bathsheba. But in Psalms, it talks about how he asked God to restore him immediately. He cried out to God for restoration immediately. And a lot of times, if you were like I was, We'll go and we'll sit in a corner and we begin to cry over our situation. We begin to pout over our situation. We begin to express our situation. We be wondering where God is when God already said in his word, people of God, that I will never leave nor forsake you. So God is right there. But he's waiting on us to do some things. He's waiting on us to give him total and complete access to that place that has been invaded by the enemy. Amen. Amen. Anybody have any questions? Amen. Then the second thing, I'm going to go ahead. Praise the Lord.
Oh, no, I was just going to say we do have some people with some questions. I'm going to find out who they are, but I don't want to interrupt what you're bringing because I know Apostle Coleman's going to come in. But let me find out who's got their questions, and then we'll come back in. I don't want to interrupt you in that.
Okay. Praise God. So I'm just waiting on people to come in with their questions while she's looking to see who has a question. The second point that God gave me is that the second step that God gave me is that we must pray. And that's what David did as well. After David repented, David went into prayer. And that prayer was to ask God to heal him and to forgive him, to blot out his transgressions and to heal him from his sin. So we got to remember that we got to take our sickness to the great physician, the great healer, which is Jehovah. We take those things to God in prayer. That means that we are dependent on God. We're saying to God that you are the great physician. You are the great healer. And prayer works because it's not that we get restored through prayer because we are good or because we have a changed mindset or because God has healed us. We get restored in prayer because God is good, because God is merciful, because God is kind. And in Psalms 103, it talks about how Father already knows that we are weak. And God remembers that we are weak and that it was from dust that we came from. So he's not counting on us to fail. He already knows that we're going to have some shortcomings. He already knows that we're going to have a fall. That's why he said, think it not strange if you find yourself in a fall or a dive of temptation, knowing that this thing has come to try your patience. But he also says in Corinthians, with this very thing, I will make a way of escape for you. So God already, just like he already had Jesus in the plan for salvation when Adam and Eve first sinned in the garden and sin first came upon us, God already had a plan in place. He already knew that we were going to be restored back to him. He already knew because the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So God desires to fellowship with us, but he wants us to desire to fellowship with him. So just waiting on the questions that people may have.
Yes, indeed. So we do have area code 770. This is, it looks like it's an anonymous question. We do have another area code. I don't want to shout out anyone's entire phone number, but with the prefix 255, I'll come back to you. But 770-205-203. The question is, if you're feeling suicidal and you've recovered, but you're constantly being let down, what is the recourse? What would I do? What am I supposed to do?
Okay.
If I'm not suicidal anymore. Okay.
Okay.
And yeah, whoever that is, because I don't know, I don't see a name, but we would like for you to stay after the show and let us know what's going on. But if you've been suicidal, from what I'm understanding, you're not suicidal anymore, but you don't feel that you're able to get up.
Okay. So if
mm-hmm.
you have faith, I praise God that you are no longer suicidal. That means that the demonic force or the demonic oppression that came to throw those darts at your mind, that they have lifted. But listen, they're only going to be lifted for a short period of time. And there is some things that you can do. I'm going to give you Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. And it talks about the armor of God. And the first thing that we as believers have to do, that we have to put on the whole armor of God, but we have to do this daily. The helmet of salvation is what we put on, and that's the word of God. And I'm going to just make it simple. I normally tell people to take scriptures and write them on index cards and then speak those scriptures out loud. And what that does, it calls the devil to back up from your mind, and it fortifies the helmet of salvation over your head. And it protects you from those darts that the enemy are throwing at you. So make sure that your mind is being stayed on God. And when you don't know any scripture or you don't know any word, this is a simple one that I say any scripture. Jesus wept. I walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't matter how long. What I do is start reciting scriptures. And guess what? Until I get to the place where 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity of Jesus Christ, I just started quoting scriptures. I just started praising God. I just started lifting up God. Change your music to worship music. Change your TV shows. Change your friends. And just turn your praise into radical worship. Start, you know, make sure that everything around you exudes God. And what these things that I just told a young lady last week, to just start playing worship music in her house. Just let the worship music just pray in your house. And what that's going to do, that's going to push back the darkness of the enemy. Those are just simple things that we can do. But as the woman of God said, we really would like for you to stay afterward if you can, so that we can collectively come together and pray with you and get some more insight from God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I got a number recorded too, so stay back. She said that she will. I'm going to go ahead, and we want to introduce at this time Apostle Coleman from Third Dominion Ministries. And Apostle Coleman, can you share your insight on recovery, hurt, and pain? And thank you again for joining us as well as one of our co-hosts also. Thank you.
God bless you, Minister Serena and Prophetess, Pastor Loretta, amen. I was, you know, I always gleam off of some of the things that Prophetess Loretta is saying, because she's the forerunner of this thing. And I'm a little tired, you all, today, but to God be the glory. When she was talking about pushing into the pain, pushed her into a purpose, but it was some key things she said at the end. And I'm good today, you all. I'm just good. My vocals sometime early in the morning sound like this. Okay, pushing in, hold on, let me go back to what I was going to say. Something she said at the ending of what she was expounding on, the first and the second point. And the word of the Lord came to me a lot of time. What we are dealing with now in this season and in this hour is a lot of broken spirits. People's spirits are being broken. And the Bible talks about the broken spirit, that he is now to that broken spirit. And as the woman of God was saying, when you're in a place of brokenness, the first thing you got to do, amen, once you recognize it, and most of the time when we get to a place of brokenness and hurt, the first thing, even those that are not confessing salvation, they will pray. But our job here as believers is to instruct you that when you pray, place of brokenness, but brokenness to yield to God. And then you do have to apply the word of God. You have to apply the word of God to that place or that thing that caused you to be broken. There is a scripture for everything that we go through in the word of God. Now your mind says, I have to get to a place of searching out God. God, help me. A lot of times we say, God, help me, because we know that's what we're supposed to do when we have been hurt. But what we're trying to instruct you is to do when you're being hurt, especially a spirit hurt, that thing when it has left your emotion and it has gotten to your spirit, man, when it has gotten to your spirit, that is because that is the core of who you are, your spirit, because you have released yourself to something that you feel like might have been It could be a friend. It could be a someone that you work with. It could be a family member. These are people that we trust. These are people a lot of times that we would lay our heart to. And we have a most of those type of people, the people that we look up to. And as she said, even though we look up to people, we still have to come to a place that we are dependent on God. And a lot of times, if we're not believers and we have not come to God, we have to be by our those that we it goes back to training a child in the way that they should go. And our parents, even those that are not saved, they would tell us, you know, what to watch for, what not to watch for. But sometimes we, again, going back, we will fall into that dependency on people rather than God. And me, as I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, sometimes God allowed that to happen to push us to him because we haven't been taught in our growing up. So it goes back to the scripture where it says time and chance come to every man. So God will allow us to always come to that place that we will go back to our creator. So in that, us going back to our creator, it brings us to him. To us, it may seem, why would God allow me to get hurt? Or why? Because he's strategic. He's strategic, and his love is strategic. So he say, you know, the parents didn't do what they were supposed to do. They don't know how to come to me. So I'm going to use this situation to cause them to come to me. You know, that goes back to the time and chance. And something else she said that kind of, it says, the specialist. So when you get to say doctors, we have doctors that specialist deals with specific things, like she said, heart specialist, kidney specialist, lung specialist. God has that in the spiritual realm. And God has a way of strategically aligning our life with those type of people. That don't mean they're perfect, but they have what we need to bring us to that place where our spirit man is healed and we can get on track and knowing God and come to the place of depending on God. Our final destination should always be that we come to the place, and even those that God sent to us as spiritual leaders and help, we should know our limitation. Even when we're in our, I like to use the medical field because that's a field that I worked in. Even with specialists and doctors, they'll tell you when they've got to their limit. They like, your situation, we've done all we can do medically, and they'll tell you, now it's up to God. So, and even our humanity, people that don't even know God, they'll say, well, I can't do nothing for you. I'm going to send you to this one. I know somebody. So God always have a place, have this thing so strategic that he will always lead you back to him so that you can learn that he is the creator. He is the creator of. So he is the one that know how to fix us when we're hurt. He's the one that know how to fix us when we're happy. So everything goes back to God. Amen. And God is the one. Christ was our wound healer. That's why he said he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulder. So when we go to him, he's going to deal with that wound because he was the one that was wounded to deal with the wound. Amen. So this is what I got, you know, out of that. The word of God has been a place. It's the place to where the wound, the word of God, the spirit of God, and the relationship with God. And that's why a lot of times we have mental problems because we depend on everything but the word, but God, and but our creator. So when those things happen, it really literally is to push us back to God, our creator, who knows all things, sees all things, and has that unconditional love for us, even though we wrong him. But because of who he is, that unconditional love is there to woo us back and set us in our proper place so that we can live our life in the fullness in him and enjoy life, amen, and get rid of the hurt. And then something else came to me. The Bible talks about, I was listening at the question that was asked Miss Loretta. The Bible talks about that when a spirit leaves out of a man, then it goes into dry places. Then it comes back to that house. That's where we need strategically the people, the positions, and people that are in, be connected with the right people that has what we need, because there's an impartation of the word. There's a relationship that you got to get, because if you don't have that, that spirit ain't coming back by itself. So what I was perceiving about the person saying that they're not suicidal, but you still are at a teetotal place, because you're at a place where there's got to be the word there to heal or seal up the wound, and then your relationship with God. Because when God heals, people can come with that same thing or the same demon, but dealing in a different direction. But the core of it is to hurt you, but that hurt is to see if that wound healed or where you at in the process of that wound being healed. Amen. So that's what God showed me, that you are going through the process of healing, because you're saying that they are hurting you again. So that means that that wound has not been properly healed, because when a wound, if you don't have the right person and people, you have a people with a compassion to want to heal you, they'll give you, they're like, you get a cut, somebody, you call somebody, say, I got a cut, a certain type of cut. And they'll say, girl, put some butter on it. You put the butter on there, you're like, child, this butter didn't do it. Then they'll say, well, you say, I called somebody, they told me to put in the butter, because the butter wasn't the thing. When you get to the right person and your relationship is where it needs to be, and you got the spiritual arms that you need, you're going to feel, you're going to know, okay, you know, that don't even hurt no more. That used to hurt. So you're in a process of healing, and you need to know how long has it been since this spirit left you that you don't want to commit suicide. So timing is an important part. The word of God, like she said, the right people, all these are important components where you get your proper healing so that you can go on and live and be all that God has called you to be. So do anybody have any questions for me?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Apostle Coleman. So we do. So mm-hmm. Benny asks, he says, when after healing, do I have to go to a church? I went, Benny, can you hop on and ask your question? It's okay to hop on and ask it live if you don't mind. And you're unmuted, Benny. Okay, I don't know if you're double muted, but if you want to pop on, pop on. But that was the question. He says, after healing, do I have to belong to a church? And we wanted to get a little bit more on that. But what do you say to that, Apostle Coleman?
Well, that's the protocol of God. He has set those places in. You have to go to the right place. When you say church, that can be anywhere. But you need to go to the believers that you feel comfortable with, that you know that you can grow spiritually, because we have to have that encounter with God. We have to, because what we need to realize that we need God. We need what God has set up for us, because we are triune beings. We consist of a body, a soul, and a spirit. So all of those components of man need to be balanced. And so, yes, you do need to go to a church, but to the right one. And that's where your prayer come in, your relationship come in. You need to be around. The Bible says that fret not to assemble yourself together. Then your inheritance is among those that are sanctified. That means set aside. Living life to the fullest, to the best that they know how. They're not religious. They're not tradition. They are truly believers in the standards of God and what he did for us, and that they do know that we need that in our lives. I hope that helped.
I hope that helps you, Benny. If you get a moment, can you type out and explain a little bit more? But I do think what Apostle Coleman was just sharing with you in terms of whatever you're healing from, and then understanding if you're asking for support. And I think a lot of people maybe misunderstand coming out of a crisis or trauma. When you talk about a support group, you want to get to a place of support. With the way that we define it in the kingdom, people who are in surrounding yourself with people who understand not just the principles and the concept of the Holy Spirit, but are absolutely in a relationship with God. So that's the best place to be. If you've been suicidal, feeling depressed and things of that nature, you want to get around people who understand not just the deliverance, but also who have a place of maturity. You're going to have to take a direct responsibility, not just for your livelihood, but your salvation as well. One of the things that I always think about whenever I'm thinking of recovery from hurt and pain, what's helped me and with my experience and in my testimony was understanding my own expectations and liberty. Love is liberty. Our God, everything related and relative, correlated to who God is, who the Holy Spirit is about liberty. So when we're thinking about recovery from hurt and pain, because there's nothing in this life and in this dimension that's going to protect you from disappointments, hurt, trauma, pain, loss, change in plans and dreams, expectations, your soulmates, your family members, children, there's going to be disappointments all the time. What we have to do is accept it for what it is, and that's what I had to do. I had to allow myself to face what the situation was, good, bad, or indifferent, and then I had to allow myself to not just face it, but also understand why I was disappointed in this situation and face it for what it is, and then allow myself to mourn the change, study in my word. I had to do that. That was so important. And I also had to write down and do a lot of journaling in the process of my healing. Now, that's what helped me. One of the things that I also had to do, too, was make sure I didn't fall into a place of victimizing myself. I didn't want to stay stuck. So if I've had a disappointment, recently I had some real devastating appointments in my work life. It was devastating. Took me, blew me, I mean, like a bomb. And it hurt me. It hurt me in places that I also connected to when I was a little girl and in my family. It was just so familiar. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the term familiar spirits and familiar situations. It brought me back to those disappointments and pain and hurt. And I had to make sure that I wasn't the victim. I had to make sure that I turned myself around from being that victim, because I heard myself complaining about it and talking to everybody about it, but I didn't do anything about it to make sure that I wasn't the victim. In whatever situation I'm in, that I do have choices. Guys, we got to understand we have choices. We have choices, and we do have skills to deal with it. That means through the prayer, through the Holy Spirit, through support. If you don't have a support system, that should be part of your assignment, is creating and finding a support system. You know, reaching out, jumping on podcasts just like this. This is the very beginning of finding out and opening doors to a support system and getting information to help you to cope and to deal with some things. But we do want to make sure that we're not just biblical about healing and recovery, We absolutely have to be internal about it. And what I mean by that is knowing where I'm at with it and what part do I play in it. So I know me and Apostle Coleman and Pastor Loretta, we've had and seen an experience where great trauma has happened in this time that we've known each other with people we cared about and in our own personal lives. And the one thing that we did not do was allow ourselves to stay victimized and in the place of not just complaint, but another place of expectation and then manipulation as well. Because if I'm going through something and I want to heal, why would I bring somebody else into that dark place with me so that we're all in a place of not just being victimized, but hurting together as opposed to being delivered through the Holy Spirit when it comes to pain, hurt, and recovery? Because we all know that we can identify with how we get hurt and how we can experience trauma and pain and loss and disappointments. But now how do we cope and live with it? What do we do to live with it and get to the other side of it? And so that's always the one thing that I always take myself to and remembering that I don't want to be the victim. I don't want to be the person who's stuck and I don't see an optimistic way out. That's why I always think about liberty, because our Father is liberty. He's love and liberty. There's no bondage. There's no bondage. That's all ego. Manipulation, bondage, that's all ego. Liberty is so freeing. You love something so much or someone so much that you're willing to let them go in terms of being themselves, even in the disappointment. You know, and I've heard people say, oh, okay, I've had this, my child came in the house and she wants to wear safety pins in her nose and purple hair and put holes in the bottom of her jeans, you know, and wear cut off booby shirts or whatever. Yeah, I mean, if you think of the most extreme thing that your child could do and you say, I'm still going to accept you as you are. I'm going to love you as you are. I may not like what you're doing, but I'm going to love you just as you are, right where you are. That's liberation. That's liberty. That's freedom. That's the type of love that we want to experience. And that's what's going to help us to not just recover from hurt and pain, but it makes the expectations that we put on other people a lot less. It makes it a lot less. I also I heard someone give this analogy, and I've been thinking about this a lot, and with regards to hurt and pain, and I've been thinking about the caterpillars and how they go through that metamorphosis of change. And I can only imagine that when that caterpillar is up on this leaf, that they're not just going through this thing where they just come out and become this beautiful butterfly. There's got to be some type of trauma going on when this caterpillar is going through this change to become this beautiful butterfly. And I believe in it. I heard Apostle Coleman and Pastor Loretta saying when they were sharing that there's a reason. I heard that a lot. You know, there's a process to what God is doing. He strategically absolutely does have a plan. I believe that recovery and hurt and pain is a part of that process. I know we all don't like it, and no one likes it. But the brighter side is that we're coming out better than we were. I cannot think of any situation that I've been in that I didn't come out better than I ever was before, even with all the pain. And I could think of some really, really painful things. I had surgeries when I was a little girl, and I remember how extremely painful it was. It was so extremely painful that by the time I was 12, I had to have so much morphine in my body just to cope. And I was still in a lot of pain, so that's a whole lot of pain. However, it made me better. Made me extremely better, not just in my thinking ability, but my perception, what I appreciate about life, things that most people take for granted, I can't even begin to take for granted. So it makes us better, even in our disappointments and work relationships. church relationships, fellowship relationships. We learn so much about each other in the body of Christ that we allow ourselves to not just come to a place of awareness, but understanding. God said, in everything you do, get understanding. I've had to work with people and do different projects and things with certain people that I've had to absolutely go into a place of understanding. It took the stress out of it. And the other thing that I realized too was that I'm not even in control. God is in control. Do I get a lot of disappointments? Yeah, I do. But I absolutely try to put in practice understanding. Let me understand why. Let me see that person where God is seeing them so that I can understand why. It doesn't mean that I'm always going to get to a place of accepting or liking it or even working with that person. But guess what? I still understand why. I understand why, and I know what position I play in it, and I know how to keep my safe place. That's so important for us. When we're dealing with life on life's terms, we have to have a place that we don't let anybody invade. You got to have a place, there's something about you within your own person that you know how to say no to. No, you can't invade that. I know you like to curse and fight or do this or do that, but that's not my scene, so you can't do that to me. I am not going to allow you to do it. If something is offensive or evasive or a sense of invasion, we can't allow everyone to invade us. As when we do have relationships, we're always sharing. There's bonds that are formed, but you have to have a cutoff point. There has to be a place where you say, okay, this is how far I'll go, and this is what I won't do. This is what I will do. And that eases the growing pains, because the more you go through, and this is nothing to do with suicidal, or if you've got a diagnosis, you know, I do always suggest that you get counseling, you know, get some help, get some support. But in life, there's always going to be growing pains. And those growing pains, when we accept and see it for what it really is and not spread ourselves so thin, the growing pains become less. It is not as much as it used to be or what it could be, you know, at all. So I'm really, really grateful for this topic, because recovery, hurt, pain, emotional pain and trauma, mental pain and trauma, the emotions, period. There's just so much to bring such a divisive atmosphere, not just in our relationships and fellowship relationships, but in our own lives. It makes us want to just shut down and not deal with anyone at all. And then there goes the hopes and dreams and your purpose. You know, what your visions may be, what you're trying to aspire to, because a lot of things we can't do alone. At all, if we think we're doing it alone, that's not true. That's not true. You know, you may get dressed, you know, alone. You may take a bath alone, but guess what? You know, the working relationships and fellowship, you can't do that by yourself. You can't counsel and support yourself by yourself. So, I'm glad to be able to share that in our faith walk. I want to say that. Our faith walk, it should always be a place of awareness when we think about recovery and pain and disappointments. You know, I'm glad that you guys are with us. As you see that we're able to share from three different perspectives and three different personalities, three different characters in the way that we view and understand it, but on one common ground, and that is knowing that everything that we do, we want to do a kingdom related and kingdomly. And that is the safest place to be. The safest place to be is in the will of God. I am going to, ask the ladies if you have anything else to share and with our listening audience. Pastor Loretta, Apostle Coleman.
Who wants to go first?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to go back. I wanted to share a couple of things, and I wanted to leave you guys with a couple of things to remember that in your recovering from a fall or recovering from hurt, pain, depression, or anything, remember to always depend on God. Remember that this is a sickness. This is a demonic spirit that has come to invade your purpose. And we're talking about people of the kingdom. We're talking about believers. It's come to stop you from doing what God has called you to do, no matter what it is. So don't wait to get help. Get help as fast as you can. And then I want to jump to, because God gave me like several points on this, I want to jump to the fifth point that he gave me for you guys to remember. To remember that in your recovery that you may fall back. You may walk away with a limp. That does not mean that you are to give up. There's a scripture in 1 Peter 5 and 10, and you can read it on your own time. It says that it describes God as being the ultimate one that's a restorer. He made us. He made us, even in our weakness, he will make us strong. His grace, his love compels us to, and compels us and compels others as we share our testimony. It draws others to Jesus Christ. So remember, you know, you're going through this for a purpose, even if it's nothing but to share it with someone else. As I was in prayer last night, God gave me this Greek word, and it's K-A-T-A-R-T-I-Z-O. K-A-T-A-R-T-I-Z-O. I don't want to mispronounce it, so that's why I spelled it. And it sums God up. It says, this word describes God as a perfect creator. He's a perfect healer. He's a bone mender. He's a restorer to those of us that are downcast. And he is a way maker. He is an adjuster of a broken heart. That describes God in a nutshell. So I want to remind you that even if you find yourself, and this is to encourage you, even if you find yourself falling back, please know that you won't stay there. You may fall back in your thinking, but you're not going to fall out. God, when God restores a thing, God restores a thing. If God is doing, you're going to see the manifestation. And one more thing. It doesn't take God. When I was going through my process, people will often tell me, you're still hurting. Now, I'm walking around with joy. It's almost like that song Juanita Bynum said, nobody understands how I can praise God and have joy in the midst of my trial because I've been here before. But this time, I'm going through it the right way. So God will continue to perfect us until we learn how to go through it the way that he wants us to go through it. And when we get to that point, now we're ready to share with others how to go through. Hence, how to be restored. We're ready to share with others. The first time I went through something like this, I waddled, I complained, I murmured, I cried, I kicked, I had temper tantrums. This time I went through with a smile on my face, with grace. I lifted up the person that the enemy told me was at the back end of everything that I was going through. I got understanding from God, and my understanding was that this is all purpose. Because had I not had that pain, I would not be on Blog Radio Talk today. It pushed me into my purpose. Don't let the enemy stop you. And then as for Benny, I want to tag on to what Apostle Coleman said, that church is the Greek word in origin, and it means to be the called out of God. So remember, those of us that are saved, you are already the church. We look at the church as a building. So when it talks about, when she was saying about you need to be somewhere where you can fellowship with strong believers, get around strong believers. Like Prophetess came back and said, a support group, but make sure that their foundation is in God. Make sure that their foundation is in God. And know that you are the church, so get someplace where you can get yourself filled up with the word of God and get an understanding of what God is filling you up with. Get an understanding of your oil. Thank you.
Wow. Wow, that's absolutely awesome. Wow. Apostle Coleman, you have anything left to say, anything left to add?
I don't know how many more minutes I was you said some powerful things talking about we know that God is our core. We got to go back to him, as Pastor Loretta said. But what stood out to me, too, was growing pains. You said something about growing pain. And a lot of times people don't realize that life, you're going to have growing pains so that you can grow mentally and come to a place where the Bible call it perfection, but we call it in the natural mature, because when you look at a mature person, you don't expect them to make decisions as a child. So when we come to that place of perfection, it's a place of mature. So God is always, you're going to have to go through those growing pains. And as you said, Ms. Serena, it becomes less painful when you understand why you're going through that pain. It doesn't mean that you don't feel the pain, but you understand that it is to grow me mentally so that I will be mature or a grown person, that when this decision come again, I will make the right decision, because I don't want to have to go through that pain. I don't want the pain. And that's, even the Bible tells us, if we don't suffer with him, that deals with pain, going through process, then we can't range with him or rule with him, be a person of authority, be a person of influence. People that became people of influence, even in the natural, they had to go through things. They had to go through the pain of the process to become or maintain or produce what they produce, what we need. You know what I'm saying?
So,
yeah, that and Ms. Loretta said something about perfect creator. Perfect. He was a mature creator. He knew that he created us with a body, a soul, and a spirit. So he's able to deal with every component of us. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The ultimate component is our spirit, man, and that's what God deals with it. Once you get that spirit in the right perspective naturally, and because we are, we have humanity naturally and spiritually, then we can live life to the fullest. And that's all he has for us.
Guys, do you hear me? We do have the ability to live life to the fullest. I know that we are at the end of our time, but you can always email us. Please stay behind, for any counsel. You can reach out to us as well. You can leave a message here. You can email us. We'll reach out to you or drop a message in our messenger. And just stay tuned. You know, stay with us. Work with us, and we'll work with you and be here every other Saturday to make sure that we're not just open to communicate with you, but educate you through the Holy Spirit, conversate with you through the Holy Spirit, and love on you through the Holy Spirit. With that, we are out. It is Grown Women in the Kingdom. Thank you for joining us on today.
Today, yeah. how not a moon. Oh, it sure is nice. So it's nice, and that's why I wake up grateful every day. Covered in favor, doused in grace, and only good vibes rolling through my way. Thankful that the Lord woke me up today. Got a loving family and solid friends. One better ride for me till the end. Car and a crib, I ain't laid on rent. All of my blessings are ever.
Thank you.